Hello, my name is David Sorber, and I'm going to be talking to you today about a project I'm working on to improve the GNU Radio Accelerator device data flow. As I'm sure many of you are aware, GNU Radio is a software-defined radio framework that uses a block-based interface and includes a library of very nice signal processing blocks that can be interconnected in various ways to create signal processing flow graphs. The image you see there is an example flow graph that I pulled off the GNU Radio website. While GNU Radio is very nice, one thing that it does not explicitly support are accelerator devices. And when I say accelerator devices, I'm talking about things like GPUs, FPGAs, DSPs, and really any other kind of hardware that you might use for signal processing computation. If you're like me, you may have worked around this limitation by creating your own signal processing, accelerated signal processing block using the block interface. And if you did that, you probably noticed the same thing I did, which is that the efficiency of the data transfer into and out of the accelerator device is really rather suboptimal. When I say suboptimal, here's specifically what I'm talking about. Many, if not most, accelerator devices require a dedicated memory buffer to transfer data into and out of the device. These buffers are frequently known as DMA buffers. GNU Radio manages its own buffers, so in order to use a device's DMA buffers, you have to copy from the GNU Radio buffer into the device's input buffer, for example, and then do the opposite on the output path, copy data from the device's output DMA buffer back into the GNU Radio buffer. And this is an example of what's known as the dreaded double copy problem. So a better way to interface with accelerated devices would be to remove the double copy and allow for GNU Radio, the GNU Radio framework, to directly manipulate device DMA buffers. And that's exactly the purpose of the project that I'm working on. To start, I'd like to talk a little bit more about some background so that you can better understand the details of this project. As I mentioned before, and I'm sure most of you are aware, GNU Radio blocks are interconnected to create flow graphs. Under the hood, when blocks are interconnected, the block that's writing output allocates a buffer, and of course writes to that buffer, and the downstream block that's reading or consuming data from that buffer does so using a buffer reader object that's indicated there in blue. So the interconnection between two blocks is represented by a buffer that controls the data moving from one block to the other block. And of course, one upstream block can feed multiple downstream blocks. Here I've shown two in this diagram, but depending on the blocks involved, it can be many more than two. And again, the buffering scheme is fairly similar. The block that's producing output allocates a buffer and writes to it, and the blocks that are consuming the output have individual read pointers that keep track of their location within that buffer. Another interesting fact about the GNU Radio buffers is that they are circular. And I'm talking specifically about the vmcircbuf class, of which there are several implementations that all work in the same general way. And they are very clever circular buffers in that they use a double mapping scheme. So if you see here, the dotted line across the screen represents the boundary between physical and virtual memory. In physical memory, there's a single buffer that's allocated, and in virtual memory, two mappings are created. We'll call them mapping 0 and mapping 1, and those mappings are placed back to back. What's returned to the user, however, is only the first mapping, so only mapping 0 is accessible to the user. However, because mapping 1 exists, it allows data to be written and automatically wrap around the boundary of the buffer. So, for example, if you're starting out at the end of mapping 0 and writing across into mapping 1, because mapping 1 is directly behind mapping 0, that has the effect of writing from the end of the buffer directly back to the beginning of the buffer. And as I said, this is a very clever and elegant way of handling a doubly mapped buffer. And all of the existing buffers in GNU Radio work in this way. So now I'm going to talk about the goals and the overall high-level plan for this development project that I'm working on. So one of the most important goals is to preserve compatibility with the existing set of GNU Radio blocks. And this is, of course, very important because there's many of them, both that come with GNU Radio and as part of various out-of-tree modules. So that's certainly the most important goal here, is to preserve compatibility. The next goal is sort of a design goal, which is to create a hardware agnostic interface to allow users to define and use custom buffers. And, you know, those custom buffers would typically be things like DMA buffers that I was talking about earlier. Another key point here is that the goal is very much to make this hardware agnostic, not to create a specific interface for any specific type of hardware, but to create a more general one that can be used with lots of different kinds of hardware. And of course, another goal here is to not work in isolation, but to collaborate with the GNU Radio development team, which I have been doing, and of course with the ultimate goal of upstreaming these changes back into GNU Radio. In terms of my high-level development plan, I've sort of broken it up into two milestones just to make things more manageable. So the first milestone that I'm just calling Milestone 1 is to implement that custom buffer interface that eliminates the double copy problem. And then Milestone 2 is a more forward-thinking thing, to extend that same interface to support device-to-device transfers. And I'll talk a little bit about Milestone 2 later on. So Milestone 1 is what I'm currently working on. I started last year, and in early December, I posted what I'm calling my first draft of the implementation to the ng-sketch GitHub repository at the URL on your screen. I am currently working on the next draft. As of the time that this video is created, those changes are not yet posted in the GitHub repository, but I hope that by the time you're seeing this or shortly thereafter, they will be available. And next, I'm going to talk a little bit more in detail about what Milestone 1 involves, which is first to refactor the existing buffer interface and create the abstraction for single map buffers, then to create an interface for blocks to allocate custom buffers, and then, of course, to test the single map buffers, test the performance, because that's, of course, the whole point of this project, and then furthermore to test with many different kinds of hardware to make sure that it's compatible with many different types of hardware and their associated runtimes. So to start off with, in GNU Radio, there is a buffer class that has the interface presented in the box on the right there. And I started by making that buffer class an abstract class and then breaking it into two pieces. So the two pieces are the buffer double mapped, which represents what the buffer class was originally as an interface to the VM circbuck, circular buffer that I mentioned earlier, and the newly created buffer single mapped, which is the new abstraction for single map buffers. And the idea here is that the single map buffers will wrap a custom buffer. One nice thing to note is that the single map buffer implementation can be tested just with regular character array buffers. They don't actually have to be any kind of special buffer. And now the make buffer factory is actually more of a factory because depending on your selection, it now allocates one of these two different classes. I also did something very similar for the buffer reader class. There's only one important function in this interface, so I kept the buffer reader class as is and made the items available function virtual. I then created the buffer reader SM for single mapped class that overrides the items available function. And again, the buffer add reader function is now more of a factory in that it chooses which of these classes to instantiate. Another important detail for this project to keep in mind is that accelerated blocks may need to allocate their upstream buffers in addition to their downstream buffers. As you noticed earlier, the device needed an input DMA buffer and an output DMA buffer. So in the GNU Radio world, that would be an upstream buffer and a downstream buffer, which is to say a buffer that's being read from and a buffer that's being written to. So I also added an interface to allow this to happen basically only when it needs to happen, which is to say only when an accelerated block is present. There's now a replace buffer function that will allow that accelerated block to replace its upstream buffer with a custom buffer that it can use. Okay, now I'm going to talk a little more detail about the single map buffer. So one of the key differences between a single map buffer and a double map buffer is that the single map buffer has to manage wrapping around the end of the buffer explicitly. As I mentioned with the double map buffer, its very elegant implementation means that you don't have to explicitly worry about the wrapping case. But single map buffers, of course, are not work differently, and you do have to worry about that case. Another thing that comes into play here is that the size alignment between the producer and the consumer which is to say the block that's writing and reading becomes important. For many simple cases, the writer is writing in increments of one and the reader is reading in increments of one, and everything works out very well. But in more complicated scenarios, those read and write granularities may not be one, and that leads to different problems, especially with regard to wrapping on a single map buffer. So for the first draft of this project that I was working on, I attempted to determine the read and write granularities and size the buffers such that they would never get stuck, so that wrapping could be handled automatically without any blocking. However, that proved to be very difficult, and in fact, eventually I determined it was impossible with the current interfaces. So I took a new approach and added some functions to explicitly handle the cases where the input or the output might get blocked. So this is in the next draft of these changes. So first off, I make a reasonable attempt at size alignment, although it may not be perfect. And then, like I said, I added explicit callbacks, output blocked callback to the buffer class and an input blocked callback to the buffer reader class to handle those two cases. So the output blocked case would look something like this. So consider a case where your write granularity is 3 and your read granularity is 1. And in this case, you can see the write pointer is at the end of the single map buffer, and it only has space to write 2 items, but it needs to write 3, so it's blocked. So the idea here is that you would find the lowest read pointer that may still have data to read, and copy that data back to the beginning of the buffer, and then reset the read and write pointers. And as you can see, the read pointer gets reset to 0 in this case, and then the write pointer is now repositioned so that it can continue writing. It now is unblocked. Similarly, the input blocked case is slightly more complicated, but ultimately very similar. So if you consider this case where the write granularity is 1 and the read granularity is 3, here the read pointer is at the end of the buffer, and it has 2 items until it hits the end of the buffer, although if you look back at the beginning of the buffer, there's now plenty more items, so it could actually continue reading if it weren't for the fact that it's blocked at the end of the buffer. So the idea here is that the pending write or read data at the beginning of the buffer gets moved down, and then the read data at the end of the buffer gets moved back to the beginning of the buffer, and again the pointers get adjusted, so the read pointer ends up back at the beginning of the buffer and the write pointer gets moved down to the next available position, and now the input becomes unblocked. So the current status of these changes is that testing is ongoing. What I've done is temporarily modify the GNU Radio runtime so that all buffers are allocated using the single map buffer implementation, and then I've been running the existing GNU Radio tests. And those present a lot of interesting cases that I've been working through. I've got most of them worked out, but there's still a few that are giving me trouble that still need to be resolved. So that's where things are at right now. And like I said, once those issues are resolved, then the next draft will be available. In addition to the single mapped buffer implementation, there's also another interface that allows blocks to actually allocate custom buffers. I haven't put a lot of detail into this presentation, because the interface that I created for the first draft is going to be revised for the second draft. So I will mention what I did, but I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's going to change. So what I did is I created 3 virtual functions and added them to the block class. And by virtue of the fact that they're virtual functions, that means that didn't break anything. And the 3 functions do 3 very simple things. So the first one returns the type of buffer, which is used by the setup functions to determine if a buffer needs to be allocated. The next one is the function that actually allocates the buffer, and the third is the function that frees the buffer. So this is a very simple interface, but I knew up front that it lacked flexibility, and that was kind of the design trade-off there. So I did receive some very good feedback on this first draft, and basically that feedback acknowledged that it was a simple interface but did ask for more flexibility, which I agree with. So I'm going to be working on the next draft to hopefully balance these 2 ideas and keep a simple interface while adding additional flexibility. So I will mention for Milestone 2, this is the sort of the next evolution of the same concept, which is to support back-to-back accelerated blocks and allow data to be transferred between them without moving that data back to the host. So as you can see here, and again, I'm just going to say as a standard disclaimer, this assumes that both of these blocks are on the same device. That's important, of course. But if you were to have two blocks back-to-back like this, in theory, they could exchange their data without actually moving the data back to the host. And that's really the whole purpose of Milestone 1 is to add support for device-to-device transfers. So I will say, with the changes in Milestone 1, this type of flow graph will be supported, but going between the two accelerated blocks, the data will go back to the host and then back out to the device. And again, that's just a limitation of Milestone 1, and eventually the changes in Milestone 2 will eliminate that. And again, this is a very desirable feature that will have many benefits, one of which is that it will allow people to create accelerated blocks that are more modular. Many of the accelerated blocks right now, because of this exact problem, are you know, very, very complicated things rather than being much more simple modular things that could be pieced together. So Milestone 2 is coming in the future. So that about takes up all my time. Thank you for listening. Again, my name is David Sorber, and the changes that I mentioned are in the GitHub repository at the URL on your screen. Just as a brief recap, the work on Milestone 1 is ongoing, and work on Milestone 2 will be beginning later this year. Thank you for your time.